today on Building on the Solid Rock with Pastor Troy Neely.
So many, they're in churches for 20 years, and they're still the dog that's all over the place. And as you grow, and you're the dog walking right next to the Lord, you begin to see that. And then you're thinking, wow, they talk really mature, but they're not. I see it. They're all over. They got choke marks, you know, on their neck from the collar. You can see it. Begin to see things more clearly. And then they get all upset because you say they're wandering all over the place. And then you just kind of try to keep following the Lord. We need to learn to follow the Lord.
Deeper and deeper, deeper and deeper, I want to know you more.
In today's message, Pastor Troy gives us a closer look at what those who desire to follow Jesus must do. According to what Christ described to his disciples, the only way we can truly follow Jesus is to look beyond this life and live for Christ by denying ourselves, taking up our cross, and following Him. Now make sure and stay with us after Pastor Troy's message. I want to share our contact information with you, as well as how you can receive a free copy of this broadcast. Now here's Pastor Troy in the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 16, verse 24, with today's study.
Talk about the serious subject of following Christ, what that means. See, Jesus has just told Peter that he's not mindful of the things of God, but the things of men. So there's a difference there in being mindful of the things of God and the things of men. He's saying, you're focusing on the wrong things, Peter. See, Peter was thinking about excelling in this life. You know, accomplishing everything here, getting the best out of this life here. You know, I want to receive all of the rewards. I want to experience all the experiences. And Jesus, we want to establish you here on earth right now. This is not going to happen to you. As Jesus said, I'm going to go and they're going to torture me. They're going to kill me. This will not happen to you. Jesus says, you're not thinking about eternal things. You're thinking of temporal things, worldly things. Peter was worried about death, but Jesus wanted Peter to look beyond death, because the truth is, the only way you can live for Christ, the only way you can truly follow Jesus, is to look beyond the end of this life. Otherwise, you can't. There's just no way when you're so consumed with this world and getting everything you can out of this world. And so Jesus tries to place his vision further than just death. So, if it takes vision beyond death for us to even be able to live for God, live for Christ, what exactly is he saying then that we ought to do in order to live for Christ or to follow him? Well, that's what he begins to talk about today. In verse 24, then Jesus said to his disciples, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. This is one of the most important verses in all of the Gospels. If we're to follow Jesus, what does it say that our first requirement is? The first requirement for following Jesus is given to us here. It's not in denying self. It's not in picking up your cross or following him. The first requirement, if you're going to follow Jesus, begins with a desire. It says, if you would desire to come after me. If the desire is not there, if you don't desire to follow Jesus, you're not going to do the other three things. You're just not going to happen. Do you have the desire to follow Jesus? Do you really have a desire to follow him? When he says, follow me, do you jump on board because it's just an emotional moment? Or you're curious what that means? Where's he going to go? What's he going to do? Or is there something about him, your encounter with him, what you've seen in him that draws you to Him so that when He says, follow me, you want to. There's a desire. You see, there are many who get frustrated in their walk because they don't really desire to follow Christ. It's not their desire. No, many, their desire is heaven, take it. But then their desire beyond that is in their freedom in Christ. I'm free, I can do this and I want to do that and I want to do this and I want to do that. But is their desire Christ? Is their desire to follow Him? The picture I get in my mind is this. Have you ever walked dogs? If you've walked a dog, you know there are some dogs that when you walk them, well, they kind of walk you, you know, especially if they're a bigger dog. Whoa, 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 come back here. You know, you're pulling them back and they're walking all over and it's like, I'm never going to walk a dog again. I imagine that for the Lord, many of His saints are a lot like that dog. All over the place. I want this. I want, no, 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 not that. And you know, oh, not this. I want to see, oh, I want to go back. Oh, let's go back here. Oh, there's my people. And, you know, and then they say, man, walking with the Lord is so hard. Well, yeah, when you got the collar choking you all the time and you're trying to go your way against the will of the Lord, then yeah, it's real hard. You're seeking your own thing. You want to do your own thing. It's not easy. You're going against the will of God. You want to do your own stuff. But then you see those dogs and the owners are so proud of them, they enter them in shows. And they'll just walk right next to their owner. Go get it. You know, they just the dog will do whatever. And the owners are so proud of them. And they will sit there and go, watch my dog. He can do this and do that. And you wonder, well, you know, would God really do something like that for His people? Well, Job was one good dog. Job's not a dog, you know. Job was faithful. And God showed Job. God knew that. But God showed that Job was faithful. Look what He'll do. Satan was saying, you know, He'll curse you. If you stop blessing Him, He'll curse you. Let me have some time with Him. And so God said, watch. Yo, boy. No, He didn't. But Job was faithful. You know, God wants to use faithful followers. Those who are really willing to follow Him. But so many of us, we get to this point where He's almost got to resort to shock collars, you know? You got to, whoa, you know, that's obviously not a good thing. Well, we've been telling you for a long time, you know, you're pulling against the hand of the Lord. And they're just running around, learning their lessons and trying to do things the hard way. But God wants us to have a desire to follow Him. You know, a dog who's obedient and who has a disciplined home and life, they say they're among the happiest dogs because they know what to expect. They're staying out of trouble, you know. It's just a good life. And for us, sheep, to our shepherd, that's the best life. We're not getting choked all the time. We're not falling off and having to get picked up and put on a right course. We're not getting the shock collar. We're following Him. And it comes with a desire. In fact, dogs, when they realize the reward and how great it is, they want to even more. There's an increased desire to please. Sometimes they get a little too zealous, depending on how much, you know, the Jack Terriers, you know, oh, no, no, what do you want me to do? What do you want me to do? Jump. Oh, okay. Jump, jump, jump. Wait. Okay, all right. They don't know. There's so much going on in that little brain. Some of us just got to chill out and follow the Lord. But it is the best life. And it's a life that Scripture says, taste and see. You know, you don't have to manufacture a desire to follow the Lord. It's not for you to manufacture anyway. You can't do that. All you have to do is respond to Him. Let Him have some time in your heart. Let Him have some influence in your life. And once you begin to taste The scripture says, taste and see that the Lord is good. And once you begin to taste and you begin to experience, you go, I want this more. I want this all the time. I want to follow the Lord. I want to put away all the nonsense. I have a desire to go to Him. I know I use this illustration every so often, but it really does remind me of the little girl at the shallow end of the pool whose dad went swimming in the deeper end of the pool. And though she had her floaties on and could touch the bottom, she still would say, Daddy, I want to go out where you are. I want to go out into the deep, even though it's over her head. Her father said, well, you know, it's deeper out here. It's over your head. She goes, I don't care. I feel better when I'm with you. See, that becomes the desire in our hearts. I want to be where you are. I don't care if it's deeper. That's all details. I'm where you are. That's my desire. So the first thing that there must be if you're going to follow Jesus, it's got to be a desire. You got to want to, or you won't. Then desire to follow Him, obviously, is not enough. The next thing it tells us is there must be denial. We must deny ourselves. Now, this isn't denial in the sense that you deny yourself something. I got to deny myself this thing or that thing or this person or this whatever. I can deny myself things and still be consumed with them. I can deny myself these things and I can walk around thinking about them all the time. I want them. I know that chocolate cake's not right here right now, but I can always buy one. I can go and just chocolate cakes in my mind. So it's not about denying things as if it's some task. Fetch, boy. It's not like that. I can deny myself things for my own selfish reasons. Looks spiritual, but it's really for me. Man, you're so smart. Oh, glory to God. But the truth is, I want to be smart because I don't like what it looks like to be dumb. I don't like what it looks like to not have a job that requires intelligence, and I really like the fact that you tell me I'm smart. I like it. And so we can really pursue things or deny ourselves things for ourselves. Athletes do it all the time. We do it in education. We sacrifice. We skimp. We take the loans. We do all that so I can get the education. That's the goal, the education. But it's a little beyond that because I'm hoping to get a job to pay off all these loans after the education, but I'm denying myself. Athletes, I'm going to stop eating all of these things, all these starches, all these foods, so that I can win the prize, so that I can do what I need to do to achieve the medal, the goal. So we're no stranger to denying yourself, but we're not called to just deny ourselves things. See, when he talks about denying self, it's more than this. It's bigger than this. The idea is to say, I am done pursuing what I want. And what your will is, that's what I want. See, we all grow up in homes, in certain cultures and environments. And as we grow up, we're born spiritually dead. So all we know is what we see, what's around us, the world. That's what we pursue. That's what we chase. That's how we make our decisions. How do I take care of me? What do I see as the best way to reflect me? For some, it is kindness and generosity. For others, it's deception and get what I can, the most that I can. But we learn. Our parents instill some moral compass in us. And so we're constantly being shaped and making decisions. So we grow up and we're still making those decisions. Some are making more moral decisions than others. Some are in it for others versus some are more selfish. But we've learned something about what's important to us, and we live by that. That is what we would call me. That's who I am. That's what makes me me. So I'm after this job because that's what we do. That's what I want. And I'm after this. I'm going to give myself to sports because I love them. That's what I've fallen in love with. You know, I got hooked. And so I'm after these things. And so we all in the flesh, in the world, are drawn different directions. When he says deny yourself, what he means is all that you have become, all that you would say, that's me. He says, get rid of it. Get rid of that. And instead, I mean, this crosses everything. Culture you were raised in. However you grew up. You've got to give it all up. And simply follow Him. Deny yourself, who you are, what you want to be. And follow Him. You know, for me, my dad was in the military. You know, I've got a long history of military. And I got out of the military. And it was almost like I felt like I was violating, you know, my whole family, because my son's not going to grow up near an Air Force base or something. Everything has changed. I didn't know how it ran out here. And you can get so used to a culture and feel so, I got to stay loyal to the culture, that you can't follow Christ. And Christ was calling me out of my culture to follow Him, to deny myself, everything that I thought I would be or wanted to be or could have been, to follow Him. It goes that deep. This is what's called newness of life. See, we're born dead. Dead in this world, drifting after and going after the things of the world. But then when you're born again, there's life in you. And this life, it wants to read the Bible. Never wanted to really do that before, but now I do. And it wants things like righteousness, holiness. I mean, in the flesh, in our old nature, it's like, that's extreme. But now the new nature thirsts for those things, hungers and thirsts for those things. And we see Christ and we want to be where He is. We want to follow Him. Now He's a little bitty. Our habits, all of our habits are geared toward, and this is why there's so much change going on early on when you're born again, because all of your habits are built around you, the old you. So you just naturally gravitate toward those things from the old you, the old self-defense mechanisms, the old things. But the new you isn't concerned about those things. God's my defense. God is my rewarder. God's the defender. God's all those things. The new you is trying to follow Him, wants to, but we have to start making some good habits, making some decisions, denying the old self, its feelings, its thoughts, its cares, its worries, its ambitions, and start developing the new man for strength, to build him up. And what happens is, over time, the dog illustrations, we go from the dog all over the place, if you mature, if you grow, to the dog that's happy. I'm one happy dog walking with the Lord. Who let the dogs out, right? Here we go. We're following the Lord. But so many, they're in churches for 20 years and they're still the dog that's all over the place. And as you grow and you're the dog walking right next to the Lord, you begin to see that. And then you're thinking, wow, they talk really mature, but they're not. I see it. They're all over. They got choke marks, you know, on their neck from the collar. You can see it. You begin to see things more clearly. And then they get all upset because you say they're wandering all over the place. And then you just kind of try to keep following the Lord. We need to learn to follow the Lord. But first, we have to go through this denial. Denying ourselves. You got to have a desire, then there's denial. It's going to cost something, denying yourself. The old nature is still alive. The new nature wants what God wants. In Romans 7, Paul kind of breaks this down for us. And he basically says this, I have a new nature. My new nature wants to do what God wants me to do. Old nature, not happy about it. Old nature wants to do what I've always done. And so I find in myself a battle going on. New nature, old nature. So that now in the new nature, I want to do things, but I don't do the things that I want to do because of the old nature, which keeps making me or stumbling me. And I go and I do these things that I don't want to do. He said, so I find this law in me now that whenever I want to do what's right, then I do what's wrong, that it's sin in me. It's no longer me, because the new man who is growing wants to go that direction. But this old nature, which is still there, is dragging me this way. Have you guys found that to be true? You found that nature? He didn't die, did he? That old nature? For some, he's really, really alive. You maybe have been like the little dog running around. Oh, I got the choke marks. I know what you're talking about. Following the Lord. So Paul says, who will deliver me from this body of death? I want to do this, but then I end up doing that. It's a growth process. It's a process of developing habits. And you can grow. You will grow. He enables you to grow. But desire, denial. It's important. You see, where my selfishness wants to take me, where my old nature wants to lead me, and where the Lord wants to lead me, they are two different directions with two different focuses. Totally different. You can know them by their ends. So we're to deny ourselves in order to live for Christ. The best New Testament example of victorious Christian living is found in Galatians 2:20, when Paul said, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. That is the perfect example of victorious Christian living. No longer am I living according to everything I think and want and feel. Christ is living in me. Christ wasn't going to do it. I'm not going to do it. If he didn't have time for it, I don't have time for it. If Christ would take time for it and carry the burden of it, I will too. Christ lives in us. So that's denying self, I think. Then we must pick up our cross. The reality in this statement is that everyone who wants to follow Jesus has a cross to pick up. I know some naturally think, I know, I married mine. I carry mine with me everywhere we go, you know, in the passenger seat. It's my cross. Well, we're not talking about nuisances in your life. And we're certainly not talking about the consequences of your choices, consequences of sin. Sometimes we confuse those for being crosses. No, those aren't crosses at all. Maybe a thorn in the flesh, a burden, but not the cross. See, carrying the cross is a picture of submission to the Lord, submission to the Father, whatever the cost. Some will use this portion of the scripture, and I've even done it, to say, this is an instrument of death. So what he's saying is here, die to yourself. But I want to say something about that. This means more than dying to yourself, because to die to yourself would be easier than what this says. That's why there's such a high suicide rate. It's easier to die than to live at times. So here's what would happen, to give us some context of the thinking here. When a man was condemned in the Roman Empire, he never heard from the Roman government or the soldiers, get on the back of the horse, I'm going to take you to where you're being crucified. You know, get in the vehicle, we'll take you over there, or we'll carry you. Or you know what, let's just give you your last ride, make it easy on you. Even Jesus, after the brutal beating, was to carry his cross. And the picture that would be ingrained in the minds of the people was this. This person who was once an enemy of Rome, this person who once defied Rome, maybe even they declared, I won't even serve Rome. I'm against Rome. Well, this person is now going to serve Rome with the rest of their life.
Deeper and deeper, deeper and deeper, deeper and deeper, I want to know you more.
Well, that's all the time we have for today here on Building on the Solid Rock, with Troy Neely of Calvary Chapel, Solid Rock. Don't forget to join us next time as we continue our verse-by-verse study through the Gospel of Matthew. You can listen to or download any of our messages by visiting our website at www.buildingonthesolidrock.com. At our website, we also provide information about our beliefs, service times, as well as directions to the church. If you'd like to get in touch with us, you can simply email your questions or comments to info@buildingonthesolidrock.com. We'd love to hear from you. Again, that email address is info@buildingonthesolidrock.com. If you're in the San Antonio, Texas area and would like to visit us, Calvary Chapel Solid Rock is located at 17018 Silverwood Drive in North Central San Antonio. Thank you for being with us today. Please join us next time as we continue our study through the Gospel of Matthew.
I wonder why. And I look up and see the hand that I turned from when the storm began, and it covers.